96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit. And they were very, very violent.
Another day of surprises from President Trump as he reverses yesterday's comments about the deadly violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, over the weekend. It's just one of the issues we're talking about at the Political Roundtable tonight. My guests are Dr. Kenesha Grant, political science professor at Howard University, Hamil Harris with the Washington and former newspaper, and Renard Jackson, Republican political analyst. Lines are open. Give us a call, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Hello, all. Let's jump right into this. This happened late in the day. A lot of people were surprised today, including, it's been reported, White House staff who did not know that the president was going to speak. They didn't know what he was going to say, that he was going to speak off the cuff. But it appears, as reported earlier, that he is back to Saturday. Kenesha, what is going on?
Donald Trump is crazy. I can't even think of something academic or scholarly to say about it. I can't imagine what it must be like to try to work for this guy. Everybody, not everybody, because clearly there are some races out in the world, but the vast majority, I think, of Americans agree that what happened in Charlottesville was a tragedy, that we thought we were kind of past this, at least like violent protest in public against black people and people that are not white. And you expect your president to be like a model citizen. You expect him to be the kind of person who is the moral leader of the nation. And he comes out and says something crazy like, oh, I can't imagine why anybody would counter protest a group of white nationalists, or, oh, I don't know why you all aren't claiming that these folks on the left are also dangerous. And you just don't know what to do about it. Like, I'm literally at a loss for words trying to figure out what could be happening in his mind other than what's got to be clear, which is that he is quiet about these things and he is backtracking on these things because the people on the right, on the alt-right, the white nationalist supremacists, whatever we want to call them, got it right. Like, he must be sending them messages that they can do what they want to do, and he will continue to support them in what they're doing.
Reynard, how do you explain what happened today? He said one thing on Saturday. He said something different yesterday, and then he was back to Saturday. Obviously, yesterday was a teleprompter speech. Today, no teleprompter, and he was speaking his mind. Is that accurate?
Well, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on your show. But unlike most other black Republicans, you're not going to have me in the media trying to defend the indefensible. And I'm curious to see who among black Republicans are going to take a principled stand and denounce what we saw this evening, because to make anything remoting a moral equivalency between the Nazi, the fascists, the KKK, and saying there were also good people there, I'm beyond speechless, and no, I will not try to explain it, and no, I will not try to justify it. It is unacceptable, period.
Is Donald Trump a racist? Is what he was saying a dog whistle speech today to the alt-right, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists?
Well, see, I'm not one. I really don't get into that whole dog whistle stuff. I've never really believed in that in modern time. Back in the 50s, 60s, maybe I'll make that argument. But Trump speaks what he believes. No one ever walks away from Trump scratching their head trying to figure out what he really meant. I can only go by what he said. And he said tonight that there were some good people there on the side of the Nazis. And if you're a member of the Nazis or the KKK, by definition, you cannot be a good person.
Mm-hmm. So, Hamil, can you make sense of what happened today? I mean, certainly we saw, you know, his staff, including the new chief of staff, John Kelly, standing in the background at Trump Tower with his head down, quite possibly counting his shoelaces while this speech was going on.
You can't make sense of it, because just look at the facts. You have one person dead that was mowed over by a known white supremacists. Two Virginia State police officers, their helicopter crashes. You have people marching into Charlottesville, this college town, not with just simple weapons, but heavy body armor, automatic weapons. And the best thing the president could do was his most passionate criticism against this new group called the alt-left. So and then he said, well, hold on.
Let me make a point. Let me stop.
My point
there
is.
There is no alt-left. He right. made that up exactly. today.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not a new group. That's not a new group. It's not an old group. If it's a new group, that group is 2 hours old.
And that's my point. So if his most passionate plea was to say, well, it was wrong on both sides, it's almost like, wait a minute. When I saw that vehicle, and I looked very carefully, ramming into these people, they didn't have automatic weapons. They didn't have shields. They were standing on the sideline watching this confusion and foolishness take place, and someone was killed. You saw body parts flying in the air, but yet you didn't hear him talk about how sad this is to, like, 10 minutes into his diatribe, and you wonder what will happen next, because they said they're coming back to Charlottesville. And again, the question is, we see what Trump is doing. We see when he goes off message. The question is, what is the message? What will be the plan for our leadership, civil rights leadership, African Americans, to go forward? Because the Republicans control both houses of Congress, Supreme Court, and the White House. So the question is, where will we go from here?
Do we really need a plan? Kenesha, because I think at this point, when it comes to civil rights leadership and, you know, and the like, do we need a plan? Do we need to hear from them, really?
I think we got to change the way that we think about how we engage in politics. So as long as we are sitting around waiting for a singular savior, a singular leader, a singular plan, we're going to be in trouble. Like, nobody's pastor should be standing up or thinking that they are about to be the leader. That's not a thing, right? I think what we need to do is be thinking about how we as individuals can work together in community with like-minded folks to move the needle. Like, what can I do to change my member of Congress? What can I do to change people who are elected to the city council where I live? And then what can I do to organize to elect a president of the United States when that time comes? And I think if we think clearly about what we can do to elect folks at the state and local level, what we can do to elect folks in Congress, things that we can clearly move, if all of us are doing that work, then it will be possible for us to move things. But as long as we are trying to fight against stuff that's already happening, we play in defense and we need to get on the offense.
And that's what, hold on, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the political roundtable talking about the top stories of the week. And the week is only 2 days, 3 days old.
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. The work week is 2 days old, which, of course, includes President Trump's latest statements, this reversal of yesterday's statements about the deadly violence in Charlottesville. If you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Kevin. What's on your mind? Kevin, are you there? All right, Kevin, give me a call back if you can. Go right ahead, Hamil.
You know, I think about what did they do in Birmingham after four little girls were blown up at 16 Baptist Street? What did they do in Selma?
Hey, who? Who?
You know, what did the civil rights community do? What they did, let me just answer my own question.
Okay.
Nonviolent direct action. When you saw the hoses, you saw the dogs. I talked to Fred Shuttlesworth many times before you passed. I talked to, you know, the other leaders. They were organized. They outsmarted these folks. And yes, there needs to be a plan. There needs to be a plan of the response, but planning, organization. We had strategic leadership. John Lewis, when I think about Anniston, Alabama, there was a plan. Ask Eleanor Holmes Norton, like she said last night. What we don't see is this organized plan to deal with the matter at hand.
But let me say that, though, you know, at the time of those four little girls in Birmingham, that was a different era.
Why? It's not different. There's still people dying. People are dying today. Why is it different?
Now let me finish. Let me finish. Because black people were in a different situation right at that time. They were in a different economic situation. We lived under segregation. Why should a 20-year-old educated black man in college, or perhaps one that is just on the streets, listen to civil rights leaders now? Because if you look yesterday, and we spoke to Eugene Puryear yesterday with the Stop Police Terror Project DC. And he was saying, yes, there were black people there, but he admitted there was an absence of them. And just because, you know, a Jesse Jackson or somebody else says we need to show up doesn't mean that we're going to show up. I think people of good conscience, black folks and others, need to show up just like all the other white folks who showed up yesterday and the Jewish folks who showed up over the course of the weekend.
So what's the difference between Trayvon Martin and Swerner Goodman Channing? What's the difference between Michael Brown when all these brothers have been dying in cold blood, need to protest.
No, I didn't say that. I'm saying that the leadership cannot pull the weight that they did 50 or 60 years ago. They can't do it. They can't do it. It's not happening.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the way that politics has to work has to be in line with the way the world works, and it's more decentralized these days. Mm-hmm. I don't think all black people are doing like anything. Black people are not doing the same of anything.
They're not in the same boat anymore.
They're not in the same boat. They're not at the same church. They're not in any space together where we can say, "All okay, black people, everybody do X." So I think in the absence of that, then we have to figure out how we can, in our separate communities, do what we need to do to get where we're trying to go. So that means maybe the black folks who all live in a white neighborhood get together. All the black folks who live in a black neighborhood get together. All the folks on Twitter get together. All the, you know, whatever kind of groupings you want to make of people can get together where they are, decide what they want, decide how they believe the world should work, and then work to change the America where they are. I think that's the best way to move forward, but I don't think that looks like a concrete long list of a plan with one leader.
Let me go to Reynard, because, you know, even as a Republican, Reynard, I would argue that the Republicans, black or otherwise, are very, very split on how they feel about Donald Trump right now, and I think we saw that over the weekend.
Well, no, there's no split. If you're confused about where you should be as a black Republican relative to Trump, you should, number one, give up your black card. Number two, get out the hell out of the party. Because I did not check my blackness at the door, Harold, when I became Republican. I'm black and Republican. They're not a either or. They're a both and situation. So I've seen some of these blacks you're talking about, Harold, and I'm embarrassed to even be associated with them, even indirectly, and I know most of them personally. But let me give you a different take on this issue in Charlottesville, Harold. My issue is these guys, the neo-Nazis, the KKK, they got a legitimate permit to march Saturday. What we should have done, we mean the community, both black and white in Charlottesville, let them have their march for us to stay at home. Guess what? They would have had a couple of hundred people. The media would have ignored them. We have given them more than they ever could have bought with millions and millions of dollars for this international spotlight on them and their issues. And when they have these subsequent marches, how about us, Harold, just ignoring them? And the media would have nothing to cover.
But the problem, Renora, that even Trump said it, they had the permit. They did the homework. They had the organizational network and the talking point. We want to unify all these right-wing groups. We came out there. We don't even know who we were out there.
Well, the point is there's no leadership.
And you had a forum, Renard, in Virginia where you were talking about the lieutenant governors and which one you thought would be best to serve some of the needs of the African-American community. Well, where is the talking points today? Have you challenged them? Have you talked to them? Do you stand for this stuff? Again, there's no plan.
Yeah, and like I said, there should be no plan. It's 2017, and I think
so. We just get kicked, and thank you, Jesus, for getting our butts kicked.
No, I didn't say that. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that those folks that marched in the 1950s and the 1960s are not the same kind of folks that are marching and that we saw on this weekend. I need to get ready to take a break, but I need to let folks know. Andre calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you. Alex calling from Southeast D.C. We're also going to talk to you. Walter in Northeast D.C. We're going to talk to you as well. We are at the Political Roundtable. We're talking to Dr. Kenesha Grant at Howard University's Political Science Department, Emil Harris with the Washington Informer, and Renard Jackson. He's a Republican political analyst. Phone number is 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay on the phone. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Stay with us.